I'm glad my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one. I'm thankful for that tonight. Moses is writing, he's praying under the direction of the Holy Ghost in Numbers chapter number 10. Begin reading in verse number 33. Numbers 10, verse number 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's true. We thank you it's everlasting. God, we thank you tonight that we can trust it. And I pray, Father, you'd bless the reading of your word for your glory, for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a few scriptures to introduce this text tonight. Paul, he wrote to the church at Corinth. It was a church that was carnal. There was a lot of sin that had crept in the church. Paul was dealing with that. He was disciplining them, writing to them, encouraging them. And in chapter 10 of verse Corinthians, the Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. He's writing about the scripture, about God leading his children in the wilderness by the cloud that we just read. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did they all eat manna? Did they eat the same spiritual meat? And did they all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. And in verse number 8 of that same chapter it said, Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. And fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and destroyed the destroyer. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Paul's telling this church, I believe he's telling us tonight, that these things that are in the Old Testament, we find these Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament preachers, how God was leading Moses, he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into this promised land. All these things are examples. It means they are a pattern that we should follow after. It is a print, a blueprint. It's an example. It's a manner of life that we should look at, we should examine, we should test, we should try, and if it's found true, that we should pattern our life after their life. And that's what we read tonight in Numbers chapter 10, verse 33 through verse 36. God is, in this text, he's given an illustration of how he leads. It's given us an illustration how he's guiding his children, caring for his children, leading his children. Our pastor mentioned many times this morning about the rest and finding rest in Christ. And perhaps none other than the probably most recognized Old Testament scripture is Psalms chapter 23. Our pastor quoted that this morning, that he said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Moses and the children of God, this Jewish nation, they were leaving Mount Sinai. They were headed to the promised land. God is directing them. God is guiding them. God is leading them. And He's finding a place for rest for them. And as we read this scripture tonight, I pray that we can see their following, their obedience, their guidance can be an example to us, just as Moses' prayer should be an example to us. In verse number 33, our text verse says, "And they departed from the mount of the Lord." They were leaving a place where God had given them the Ten Commandments. They were leaving Mount Sinai. They were leaving a place where the law was given, where the Word of God was given, direction was given, and they were to begin a journey that God was going to guide and He was going to lead and He was going to find a place of rest for them. And they're ready to begin their journey. They are leaving, and the Bible says they departed. The word departed means to pull up. That's exactly what they did. They were encamped. They found a place of rest and began to pull up. They were pulled up camp. They pulled up that place of rest and began to lead. And or guys, God led. They began to follow. And as God guided, they began to be obedient to where He was leading. Departed means to pull up. I was thinking earlier yesterday about General Robert E. Lee, that general who died in October of 1870. He died from a stroke. It was actually pneumonia, complications from a stroke. His last words as he lay there dying was, "Men, strike the tent." It's a phrase they used in his day, in that era, that means to pull up your pegs. It means to pull up camp. It means to pack up your tents, pack up your belongings. We're fixing to go on a journey. I believe he may have started his journey forever there in heaven, but that's what he was saying. He was saying, we're departing, we're pulling up tent, we are pulling up pegs and starting this journey ahead. You know, every day that we live, you and I as the children of God, as someone that's born again, someone that's been blood-bought, redeemed, generated, quickened, made alive, we are on a journey. We are on a cause for Christ, to win souls for God, to praise and up glory, and to promote the goodness of Jesus Christ. You know, some of those days on this journey will be exciting. Some will be challenging. But many days, just like we find in our text, it's going to seem like they're going through a rut. It's just a day of ordinary, a day of you just have to put one foot in front of the other. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. And this is a part of the journey as well. We find in verse 33, it says, "And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey." On this journey, it wasn't the church that was leading. On their journey, it wasn't the pastor that was leading. It wasn't the political winds that guided them. But we find that it's none other than Jesus Christ leading this journey. It says that the Ark of the Covenant went before them. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean Jesus leading the journey? Jesus guiding?" It says the Ark of the Covenant. I'd like to suggest to you tonight that this ark was made of that acacia wood. That wood that is a type. It's a picture of the humanity of Jesus Christ. We see this acacia wood. It only grew in the desert. It only grew in a dry, parched land. You say, "What does that have to do with my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ?" Isaiah said of Jesus, he said, "He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground." This acacia wood, let me say tonight, it did not rot. It did not, it was durable. It did not decay. It did not become soft and gummy like many wood does. That reminds me of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Acacia wood we find that was leading the Ark of the Covenant was a fragrant wood. It was a wood that permeated a smell. It was a wood that was aromatic. And I want to say tonight, Jesus Christ and you and I that are in Christ, the Bible says, is a sweet-smelling savior to God the Father. This Acacia wood that was leading, as it grew in that desert, in that parched land, it had thorns and it had briars that grew upon it. I'll remind you of John chapter 19, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." We find this of Acacia wood. It was overlaid with pure gold, the type, the symbol of Jesus and His deity and His royalty. We find inside the ark, you'd find manna. That bowl of manna that God supplied, that they partook of, that they ate. Let me remind you of John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In this ark, you find there was manna. Inside the ark, you'll find Aaron's dead almond limb that budded. You say, "Preacher, what does Aaron's dead almond limb that budded have anything to do with Jesus Christ?" We find on the Isle of Patmos, John was exiled. He was cast on that isle. He heard a great voice behind him, one saying in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore." It's a type, it's a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to say I'm glad that I serve a risen Savior. Amen. Up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumphant over His foes. He arose victor from a dark domain. He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. In this ark, we find there was manna, the picture of the bread of life. We find Aaron's dead almond limb that budded atop of our resurrected Savior. You'll find also in this ark, it was covered. It was above the mercy seat. It was a place where those priests would sprinkle the blood once a year for the covering of the sins of the people of Israel. You say, "Preacher, where does that blood, how does that Jesus fit into that place?" I believe the song says it's best down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was that blood applied. Glory to His name. Jesus was leading the people. He was guiding the people. He was directing the people. He was before the people. And they were following Him to be examples for you and I tonight. I'm glad to announce, and I'm happy to report tonight that Jesus is still guiding. He's still leading. He's a living Savior. He's alive evermore. And His name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. It's an example for you and I. Paul wrote to the church to read those Old Testament scriptures, to learn and to understand and to partake of them, for they are examples. It's a pattern for you and I. It's a print. It's a form, a manner that we should live and pattern our journey after. Why is this ark leading? What is this ark doing? Why is it before them? Why is it going before them? Notice in verse number 33, at the end verse it says, to search out a resting place for them. COVID-19, all this civil unrest, the rioting and the looting and the protesting, the loss of jobs, the collapse of the economy, it was a perfect storm for Satan to instill fear, to instill dread, and to scatter the flock, and to spawn doubt, and to spawn worry amongst God's children. But as this ark is leading, as this ark is guiding, as it's going before the people, it was to search out a resting place for them. Matthew 11, 28 is still in our Bible. It's still ringing loud and clear. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can find rest in Jesus Christ. The ark, the Jesus, this ark, the good shepherd, this ark, our Savior, is going before them. It's guiding them. It's searching. It's seeking. The word is to spy. It's spying out a resting place for his children. Several years ago, when the kids, my daughters, were younger, Anna Lee was probably 2 or 3. Avery was 5 or 6. Nia was probably 7 or 8. It was Christmas Eve. We had just got through reading the Christmas story to them. It was getting late. We were telling them, you got to get ready. You got to go to bed. Santa Claus will be here in the morning. Let's get ready and hurry and go to bed. And we were fixing to pray and to send them to bed for the night. And all of a sudden we heard something outside. Brother Jason had got a hold of some of these sleigh bells. And he had walked to our living room window, and outside he began to ring these bells. It was a surprise to me. I believe it surprised Natalie. Anaya, she jumps up. She takes off running and screaming down the hall, scared to death. Avery saw her older sister running and screaming, so she jumps up and takes off running down the hall, screaming, scared to death. And Anna Lee was probably 2 or 3, and she didn't know to be excited. She didn't know to be scared. She didn't know to be happy. All she was doing was looking to her older sisters and the reaction. So Anna Lee jumps up. She plugs her ears and runs down the hall screaming just like her 2 older sisters. You see, she didn't know how to respond. She was looking to their reaction, seeing how they were responding, and that was her example. I began to think about our example, Jesus Christ. How is he responding? How is he reacting? How is he facing, and how is he dealing with this situation? Colossians 3:1. The Bible says, if ye be been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That word sitteth means to rest. Jesus Christ is resting. He's not in upheaval. He's settled in, is the word. All is well is concerning him. He's not worried. Everything's going according to plan. He's not wringing his hands. He's not worried and sweating about all the civil unrest. He's resting on the right hand of God. We find in verse 34, God is guiding them. He wants to lead them on the journey, on their Christian walk. He's going before them. He's searching for a place of rest for them. And we find in verse 34, the Bible says, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. The cloud of the Lord. It's a visual manifestation of the God. It's a presence of the Lord. It's the type of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It says that it was upon them by day. The word upon, it means before, has the idea of encompassing. It's toward them. It's beside them. It's over them. What he's saying, the presence of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, this cloud is all around you and I. Yes. Nothing can penetrate this cloud. As they travel on this journey, this cloud led, that guided, as it moved, God's children moved. As the cloud first led, the ark followed, then God's children followed after the cloud and the ark. The cloud would stop, the ark would rest, the people would rest. It's an example for you and I. A.W. Pink, that great commentator writer of yesteryear, says this cloud, however, was not given to them until after the blood of the innocent lamb was shed and the Passover meal was partaken of. I want to say tonight, not until one is saved under the conviction of God, as our pastor preached about this morning, has accepted Christ, he or she cannot will not have a relationship with God, Jesus, or the Holy Ghost. This cloud, he said, was a gift of God. This cloud, it was a given to them to cover and protect them from the desert sun. One writer said that the Holy Spirit, it lives in our lives, yet not to keep us from sunstrokes, but to keep us from sin strokes. This cloud, it spoke to God's people. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Psalms 99:7, it says, He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. I'm glad Jesus, God the Father, through the Holy Ghost, is still speaking today. He may be speaking to you tonight. He may be speaking to you to go and to start this journey as the cloud moves, as the ark moves. It's an example for you and I. The way we live. It's our conversation, our manner of life, the way we walk. But now we have an example of our prayer life. Notice verse 35. The Bible says, and when it came to pass, when the ark set forward, that Moses said. This is called the prayer of Moses. It's Moses asking God, praying to God, not selfishly, not something for himself, not to consume his own lust, but he's praying for others. He's praying for his family. He's praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a what we call a morning prayer. It's something he did every morning. It said Moses said. Said, that's active. It means it's incomplete, that it's ongoing, that it's never stopping, that it's ever ending. He's saying that Moses just didn't pray this one morning, but every morning he got up and prayed to God. Every morning as he rose in the morning, early hours, that he would call upon his God. You see, this was a morning prayer. I think it's Psalm 63. Another morning prayer. He says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I believe what he's saying tonight in the morning. Before we start our journey, before we start our day, before we go out into a lost and dark world, as God's going to guide and direct, we need to be bathed and showered in the prayers. It's a morning prayer. And he begins to pray, the Bible says, in verse number 35, when the ark set forward. Set forward, it's that word again, to pull up. It's to hoist up as the men of God, those Levites, those priests that were ordained to carry this ark, as they lifted up, as they hoisted that ark up on their shoulders, they began to start the journey as it set forward, as it began to move. Moses began to pray. He kept praying. Habitual prayer. Never ending. A daily habit. When things were well, Moses still prayed. When things didn't look so good, Moses was still praying. He says, notice his prayer. It's an example. He says, rise up, Lord. What he's saying is, Lord, stand up. It's Lord, arise and oppose your will. It's the word to come upon the scene, to arise up and to show forth yourself on this situation and let thy enemies be scattered. He said, God, these enemies, my enemies, the enemies of the church, the enemies of your people, those God scoffers, those ones that want to do harm, to tear down, to kill and destroy, he said, scatter them. It's to disperse. It's to shatter. It's to break in pieces. To cause to be pulverized. It's a good prayer. That's a pretty good prayer. Okay prayer for you and I to pray. I believe one reason we're at the point we are in this nation is because God's children is afraid to offend. We are afraid to hurt feelings. We're afraid under the PC, the political correctness, to offend others. We have been too tolerant. We use verses, and we should, like Luke 6:28, the Bible says to bless them that curse you and just to pray for them that despitefully use you. We ought to pray for our enemies. Moses was praying for his enemies. He was saying, Lord, rise up and break them to pieces. Rise up and oppose your will. Rise up and come upon this situation and scatter them, to shatter them and to break them apart. 3 times in the Psalms, we see the same prayer. Psalms 18:14. The psalmist says, yea, he, God, sent out arrows and scattered them. Psalm 68:1, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before them. Psalms 144:6, cast forth lightning and scatter them. He's praying in the morning. God, as I get up in the morning, as we're going to take this journey, we're going to face some enemies. They're going to be your enemies. And because they're your enemies, they're my enemies. And I want you to rise up. I want you to oppose your will, show your strength, and just to break them into pieces. It's okay to ask God to scatter some things in your life. Why don't we pray tonight? God, why don't you scatter those enemies that are before my children? Lord, pray tonight. Lord, scatter these enemies that are before my wife or before my husband. Scatter the enemies and shatter and break them to pieces that are before your church. Scatter the enemies and break to pieces to shatter them that are in this country. Moses, the lawgiver, a mighty man of prayer. He's interceding before the Lord. He every morning, he's saying, Lord, destroy your enemies. Shatter, scatter, break them to pieces. I believe what he was saying, I wrote my notes just a few minutes ago. Lord, scatter that dope dealer, those sex traffickers that want to ruin my children and my grandchildren's life, that humanist or that evolutionist that wishes to destroy the faith of God the Creator, that judge or those government officials who want to remove Judeo-Christian values from this nation, that liberal preacher or teacher or professor that fights and demeans and belittles the Word of God, that wolf in sheep's clothing that comes into our congregation that wants to tear down and destroy and to split the church. God, scatter and shatter and to break into pieces your enemies. It's evening time. He's already prayed his prayer in the morning. God, rise up. God, impose your will. God, remove your enemies. Now the ark is found a resting place. God's children are at rest. It's evening, nighttime, verse 36. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto my many thousands of Israel. He said, when the ark of the Lord rested, the rested, it means to let down. That's what they did. They let it down off their shoulders. It's to find a settling place. When it rested, Moses prays, return, O Lord, unto many thousands of Israel. He said, come back. You've been out in front, Lord, scattering your people or your enemies. You've broken them. You've made them hide before your face. You've gave us a clear path to walk in. And now, Lord, we're resting. To come back is what he's saying. It's to restore, to return again. To, in other words, he's saying, Lord, you've been out there leading, guiding all day. How about tonight to come back and just snuggle up around us? To tell us that your protection's here. To show us your presence is here. And Father, guard us with your power through the darkness. It's a morning prayer. It's an example. It's our conversation. It's our guidance. It's our journey is an example. And this evening prayer is an example. He says unto the return, to come back, to protect, to be with the many thousands of Israel. Numbers 1:46 tells us that there was 603,000 young fighting men of the army, excluding the old men, excluding the women, excluding the children. Possibly 2,000 or 2 million Jewish people have been walking all day, an easy target for the enemy. God's provided, He's protected, He's guided, He's scattered the enemies, He's broken them into pieces. Now Moses is saying, Lord, come back to the many thousands of Israel. Protect us through the night. God, if you can do it for them that are in a wilderness, if you can do it for 2 million people that are in a desert place, doubting and are walking after you, but not trusting you fully, God, you can do it for us tonight. Scatter our enemies and come back. And when it rested, He said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Moses, he's praying in the morning. He's praying at night. We find this text, it's a guidance, it's a pattern, it's an example, as Paul wrote, for you and I tonight. And in closing, Miss Bright, if you'd come and you might play something on the piano. I believe Moses is an example of how we ought to live, how we ought to follow, and how we ought to pray. And I believe tonight may be a good place to start this prayer life. We'll stand tonight as she's playing. Maybe you want to join me in this altar and ask God to scatter our enemies, to shatter those before us. Ask God to come back and to keep us and protect us. It's an example of prayer, an example of how to live, and an example of how to follow. The prayer of Moses, Numbers 10, 33 through 36. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forth that Moses said, rise up, Lord, let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that is an example to us. As we read, as we study, while we can see the lives and the prayer lives of some of these dear saints of God. And I pray, Father, that we would learn. And Father, as you direct, we would follow. And as you speak, Father, we would say, yes, Lord. And Father, I pray our prayer life, morning, evening, throughout the day, would be consistent with Moses, praying for others, praying, Father, for the glory of God, praying, Father, for salvation of souls, for your honor and glory. I bless your name, Lord. I thank you, Father, for who you are, for what you've done. Father, that we can still call upon you, that you're an able God, a capable God, of the God that's a very present help in the time of trouble. We bless you, Lord. We love you. Hear the prayers of your people, the cries of your saints, and answer them for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Want for opportunity to search your hearts, let God search your hearts. Remember in the scripture, remember Peter and John was going to the temple to pray an hour of prayer. We should have a time in our life, an hour of prayer, morning, noon, and night, anytime, driving, whatever it is. Well, we need the Lord. He's available. I guess the most neglected thing in my life, and probably most people's life, is prayer life. We need to pray. Seek His face. Thank you, Brother Gunn. Wonderful words. Wonderful message. We appreciate the goodness of God. All minds and hearts clear. Lord, for the song service and that this morning. For the opportunity we have to come and fellowship, worship, adore, and lift up the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful You're mindful of us. We thank You, Heavenly Father God, that we can call on You. We can seek Your face. You bid us to come to the throne room. And God, there's blessings there available for every one of us, for our nation. You're just wanting us to ask, to plead, to ask You in the name of Jesus to do it for Your glory, for Your honor. And lift up our nation, Father, once again to the prominence, Lord. We read in the scripture out Israel had followed You and You had built a wonderful kingdom, and they rejected You. They said, we want our own king. And people want to put themselves seemingly on the top of their list and don't want to seek You. They want to go their own way. Perilous times has come, but we thank You, Father. We can still call Your name, knowing You hear us, knowing that You will guide us and lead us. Let us follow. It's not that You won't lead. It's not that You won't guide. The problem seems to be a lot of people are not following. Help us, Father, to hear Your word, to hear Your voice, and to say in their hearts, over and over and again, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We thank You, God. Thank You for all You do for us. Be with our nation. Bring peace to Israel, and even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Until then, keep us in Your care, Your watch care. Thank You, Father, that You have so many families and so many million people to avoid thus far this terrible virus. And I pray for those that have not escaped it, that have suffered, they have been very sick, and for the many, many that have died, we pray for their families. And it's only the merciful, wonderful, tender love of Jesus that's surrounded us, and we want to thank You for it. Let us not fail to thank You, Father, for the protection You've already given us. In Jesus' name, for Your glory, Your honor, Your praise. Amen. God bless you.